Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Karam and his brother Farouk grew up as Christians in Pakistan. They were raised in a comfortable home, a Christian home, and taught to be good businessmen. They both wanted to be engineers, and they got a good education. Though they were in the minority as Christians in a majority Muslim country, there was peace and harmony among Christians and Muslims. But then, in the 1970s, after the Russian invasion of the Middle East, fundamental Muslims took over Pakistan, and the majority Muslim rule turned from peaceful and harmonious to militant and extreme. Farouk and Karam fled to Saudi Arabia to work for an American oil company. They were allowed to live openly as Christians in Saudi Arabia as long as they would not do this one thing. And you can probably guess what that one thing was. They were not to share their Christian faith with anyone. This Lent, we've been taking a journey through various foreign lands as we've heard stories of people from all nations. So far, we've heard of dangerous voyages across the seas and of other refugees who have fled from their countries for various reasons. The stories may start in Pakistan or Germany, Korea or Colombia, but they end in places like Detroit, St. Louis, Bakersfield, California, or Queens in New York. These stories remind us that there are people from all nations who live in our neighborhoods and go to school with our kids. We may even work with some of them, but have no idea what their story is. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, how will I, as a follower of Jesus, respond to them? Now, we're not talking about immigration law and all the complicated and messy politics of those coming to America for various reasons in this sermon series. Instead, we're looking at God's Word, which has a lot to teach us about people from all nations and what the gospel means for them and for us. And by doing this, we're praying that we will be better equipped to live with and love these neighbors in Jesus' name. During Lent, the call goes out to deny ourselves and carry our cross as we walk with Jesus toward Jerusalem. We've all heard how Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Note the pronouns. Jesus makes this personal. He says that each of us have a cross to bear. But what does it mean for you to take up your cross? You know, during Lent, some people decide to give up chocolate or coffee or alcohol or a dessert. Others decide to fast from meat or perhaps from all food for one day a week. And these kinds of fasting, whatever they may be, are fine things to do. But bearing your cross as a follower of Christ goes far deeper than that. Sometimes bearing your cross as a follower of Jesus means putting up with the challenges that come from being a spouse or a parent or an employee. Rather than complaining or quitting or seeking an easier road of life, so that you may have a happy, whatever that means, life, our Lord calls us to bear our cross, to endure the sufferings and challenges that come into our life, and to do so with faith and hope and confidence. Carrying our cross is not just about remembering that as a Christian, I'm called to love my neighbor and try to meet their need as best I can. Carrying your cross also means to share the hope that Christ gives to sinful people. In that sense, the situation we find ourselves in from this pandemic might ultimately prove to be a powerful blessing. It may very well open some doors for you into other people's lives that you would have never imagined, and I would guess would never have prayed for, at least not in this way. But what if your classmates or your boss or your neighbor doesn't like Christians or has a jaded view of Christians who share their faith? Speaking to them about Jesus may make your life challenging. You may have to deal with difficult questions as people ask you to explain how your loving God can allow this fearful difficulty to take place. You might even face hostility and rejection of one kind or another. The big question is, when faced with these questions and challenges, what will you do as a Christian? Will you run from the cross that Jesus, that God has placed in your lives? Will we choose a more comfortable way, one that doesn't cause us such discomfort? Or will we embrace that cross by being bold? Bold in sharing our faith in both word and deed with our neighbor. Lent is a season that challenges us to return again to Jesus' call to follow him and to carry our cross, to bear our cross. Sharing our faith in word and deed with others can itself be a cross to bear. So it's a good thing that Lent comes every year, because we need to hear that call to return to the Lord and remember why God has left us here on earth after bringing us to faith. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus' first disciples end up looking a lot like us. They also needed repeated calls to carry the cross. As you read Matthew, you discover that there were many times that Jesus' disciples were confused about what it meant to follow him. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus calls his disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel to tell them that the kingdom of God is near, knowing that they would be strongly opposed by the Pharisees and other religious leaders. And so as Jesus taught them, he bluntly said, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And then in the next number of chapters, we read of the opposition, external and internal. And it's here where we read about the Canaanite woman we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. And you'll remember that the disciples were clearly not interested in bearing the cross of sharing God's kingdom with this woman, because she was a Gentile. And then in Matthew 16, Peter makes that great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus tells them that this means a cross, as he says he's going to Jerusalem where he would be put to death, but 3 days later be raised to life again. And when Peter hears about Jesus' suffering and death, he says, "No way! This shall never happen to you." And so Jesus has to strongly correct him and the other disciples, reminding them that following him means a cross, not only for him, but for anyone who would be his disciple. We're once again in Lent. And to quote a commercial that's getting a lot of play lately, this isn't our first rodeo. We've walked this road to Golgotha with Jesus many times. We've all heard his call to take up our cross and follow him in sermons and Bible studies and any time that we've read the Gospels in our own time in the Bible. And yet, like Peter and the other disciples, how quickly we forget that being a baptized Christian and following after Jesus will mean denial and bearing a cross. We can all probably think of times when we've had the chance to share our faith with someone and didn't. We chose the easier way, the cross-free way. We didn't take advantage of the opportunity. As Matthew brings us to his description of Christ's crucifixion in his gospel account, we hear about probably the most unlikely person to carry Jesus' cross. That was that gospel lesson that we heard just a few minutes ago. Jesus had been tried and tortured, and it was time for him to carry his cross to Golgotha. This was the right time. This was the right time for his disciples to step up, to show what they were made of, to demand that they too would be crucified along with their Lord, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they were nowhere to be found. They had all fled. And so when the time came, another man, ironically also named Simon, from Cyrene, a coastal town of North Africa, was enlisted to carry Jesus' cross, at least for a little while. When Jesus was crucified, none of his disciples were at his side, though we know that at some point John stood with Jesus' mother below the cross. And it's there at the cross that we see the full meaning of what Jesus meant when he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Though Jesus had welcomed his disciples to carry their cross and follow him, he alone would, he alone could, die for his people. The King of God's kingdom bore his own cross for the many he would welcome to be his people. And you and I are some of those people. Though time and again we've forgotten or failed to carry our cross, our Lord took up his cross and died for you. He died so you might live. He ransomed you. He purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And he didn't do this with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did all of this so that you could be his own and live under him in his kingdom. And time again, in fact, right now, the Holy Spirit called you by this gospel to return to this gospel, to return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Today, this morning, you and I are called to return to Christ's cross for forgiveness, to return to him that we might be strengthened, strengthened to carry the cross that he gives us. That man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was perhaps the least likely person to carry Jesus' cross. And yet, perhaps when it mattered most, Simon did what Jesus said all his disciples must do. It's interesting that Matthew specifically wants us to know that Simon, who carried Jesus' cross, was not just any Simon. He was from Cyrene. In the Greek, it's actually more like Simon the Cyrenian. Cyrenian doesn't just describe Simon's hometown. It represents the people to whom he belonged. Now, one thing odd about Cyrene is that it seems to be a mashup of Jewish, Greek, and Roman influence. Simon seems to be the kind of person that Jesus had in mind when he says at the end of Matthew's gospel, "Go and make disciples of all nations." See, Simon was an all-nations kind of guy. Maybe he was a Jew. Maybe he was a Greek, or maybe a Roman. We don't know. Simon might well be the model of every disciple of every nation who carries Christ's cross and follows his Lord. might be a model of you and I. And it's also exactly what the men I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon did. Farouk and Khurram took up their cross. While they were living in Saudi Arabia, some Lutherans shared with them the good news of the gospel. The good news of salvation by grace through faith alone in such a way that their lives were changed. One layman even smuggled a copy of Luther's small catechism into Saudi Arabia. He crossed cultural boundaries so that the Khans could learn more about Jesus who carried and died on the cross for them. And this bold act, as well as many others, strengthened the faith of these Pakistani brothers, and they decided that they wanted to devote their lives as missionaries full-time. Eventually, they moved to Canada, and then to the United States, where they would start PABLO, People of the Book, Lutheran Outreach. And through this ministry, many, many Muslims have become Christians, all because someone reached outside of their comfort zone and shared Jesus with Farouk and Khurram Khan. Jesus calls people of all nations, even the most unlikely of people, like Pakistanis in Saudi Arabia, to take up their cross and follow his call to share the gospel with the people around them. There are many, many stories of missionaries who have come from various places around the world, some with the most unlikely of stories. And by God's grace, these stories help us to bear our cross each day, even as we fix our eyes on Jesus who died and rose again, that you and I, that all who put their faith in him might live forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.